Ladies trying to find the right accessories and all that kind of stuff. But you know, that's all frivolous. Amen. Now, keep putting on the makeup. Come on now. But but if you want to know what to wear to church so that you'll really look good, tell your neighbor, here's how you can always look good. Come on. Here's how you can always look good coming to church. Amen. Say, wear a smile. Glory to God. God likes it when you're smiling, because that means you're, like Oral Roberts used to say, something good is going to happen to me today. Amen? Amen. And I believe that. Something good is going to happen to us, because we're all going to be partaking of the communion table in just a little bit. But you know what? Some of you, I know Brother Tommy talked about our pastors and receiving a birthday offering for them. So listen, if you came and you weren't prepared to do that, and the Lord lays it on your heart just to give them a gift or send them a card or whatever, I know they get great encouragement because they give of themselves all the time for us. So just remember that if the Lord lays it on your heart to do something nice for them, you don't even have to wait till next week. You can do it anytime all year long, because they give their hearts for us, and we really appreciate our pastors. Let's give them a love clap this morning. And amen. They'll hear this CD. Yes, they will. And you know, because we are going to receive communion, the Lord just laid two scriptures on my heart back to back, and that is John 3:16 and 3:17. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But it doesn't stop there. The scripture right next door says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. I like that. But that the world through him might be saved. So this is the way the Lord brought it to me. The Lord so loved that he not only saved, but he gave. In other words, he gave to save. So he said, when you release your offering into the hand of the Lord, just remember that you're giving for the Lord to be able to save somebody else. Amen. Everybody that's in here this morning, you're in here because someone else heard the word of God, and they either gave you a good word, or they invited you to come, or they encouraged you, or they prayed for you. But somehow, some way, someone else's giving has touched your life. And so we need to understand that when we give, we're imitating the Lord. God so loved that he gave. You're never more like Jesus than when you're given. Can you say amen? So when you fill out the offering envelope, pastor says, you know, we don't pass buckets around here. You give because you want to and because it's a privilege. So when you head out the door after the service, just put it in the offering receptacle and just say, thank God my living is causing people to be saved. And I'll tell you what, your giving will touch hearts and lives, and I know God will be blessed for it, and so will you. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to sow seed into the kingdom of God. And you said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And we thank you, Lord, that when we give, Father, you said that it would be given back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, that you would cause men to give into our bosom. You said with the same measure that we meet with all, it'll be measured back to us again. And so we thank you, Lord, that when we put that seed in your hand, you put the super on our natural, glory to God, and our seed becomes supernatural. And you're the God of increase, and you're the God of multiplication, and you're the God of addition. So thank you that as we give, Lord, every good thing that we need, it's added to us, it's multiplied to us, and our seed is absolutely causing miracles to take place, not only in our life, but in so many others. And Lord, as we're about to receive the communion elements together, we just thank you, Lord, that we are obedient to your word. And we thank you, Lord, that as the psalmist of old said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our teacher, that opens up the eyes of our understanding to receive from heaven, so that we can receive all that you've promised to us, Lord, and all that we desire from your word. We thank you for it, and we give you praise as always, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Why don't you turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. For those of you that are fairly new in the scriptures, that's right after Isaiah 52, and it's right before Isaiah 54. That will help you. Some of you, if you don't have your Bibles, you got what I call a smartphone. The other day, my daughter up in Memphis, she tried to send me a text message and it came out gray, and so I just had to text her back and say, you know, honey, I know you're trying to give me a picture or whatever, but, you know, I've done a lot of these pocket calls, you know what I'm saying, where you get the bill at the end of the month and there's a bunch of stuff on there you're supposed to pay for and you didn't even do it. It's just that you either had the phone in your pocket or you put it in your purse and it's running up money on you. You don't even know it. So I had my wife call the phone company and we told them, hey, we got dumb phones. We ain't got smartphones. We got dumb phones. So they don't receive that kind of stuff. I don't know why I said all that, but that's okay anyway. Glory to God. Well, we're glad to be with you guys today. And I know Pastor Joel and Miss Peppy are having a good time. And so we will this morning receiving communion together. You know, communion is like a family reunion. It's like when we come together with our family and we talk about good things and we bring people up to speed and we share about things we're dealing with and things we've done. And we talk about our life and how their life has been touched. And we just share with one another. And that's really what communion is all about. But in the scriptures, you know, the Apostle Paul, who had probably more revelation than anybody we know, especially in New Testament times, he was on the road to Damascus one day, and he was sincere in what he was doing, but there was one problem. He was sincerely wrong. He was traveling down the road thinking that he was right in the middle of the will of God, and he couldn't have been any farther from that. But aren't you glad that even when Saul was on the road to Damascus and he was out of the will of God, that the Lord loved him enough to where he was able to find him right where he was out of the will of God and minister to him and get him right back on track to fulfill the call of God on his life. In fact, I tell it like this. When he was sincere but sincerely wrong, he was traveling down that road trying to make his way to where he was supposed to go, and God knocked him off his high horse. And when he did, he's lying on his back and he's looking up towards heaven and he asks a silly question. He said, Lord, is that you? And the Lord looked down at him and he said, Saul, I got news for you. The way you've been going, it's hard. It's hard to kick against the pricks. But he said, Saul, I'm not done with you. You were doing a lot of bad things and you were on the wrong road. You were sincere, but sincerely wrong. But even though you've done all these things, I want you to know that I love you. And I want you to know that I have called you from darkness to light. I'm calling you from the power of Satan onto the power of God. I'm telling you from now on you're going to receive forgiveness of sins and you're going to learn what your rightful inheritance is among the saints. And not only that, you're going to know the hope of the call of God that I have on your life. He called Saul, and later on he was called Paul. But that encounter that he had with the Lord was so powerful that he was not one that traveled with Jesus. The 12 disciples, they walked with Jesus the whole time that he was here on the earth. But the Apostle Paul, he came along a lot of years later beyond that. And when he was on the scene and the Lord began to minister to him, it had such an impact on him that he got away into the desert place near Arabia. And the Bible says there he spent time with God. It was just him and the Holy Spirit drawn close to the Lord. And by the Holy Spirit, the Lord began to open up Paul's eyes. And that's why in the book of Ephesians, he later on said that you need to pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him so that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened so you can know the hope of God on your life and what is your rightful inheritance among the saints and what is the call of God for your life. This is what he got by revelation. And that's why I'm here to tell you today that when you're studying the Bible and you're reading the Bible, don't ever forget to do what Paul did. Paul did not walk with Jesus, but he knew more about Jesus than the very ones that did walk with him physically. And how did he know God in such a way? How did he know Jesus in such a way? He knew him because he knew the Holy Spirit and he knew how to listen to the Holy Spirit. And so when you're studying the Bible or you're reading the Bible or the Bible's giving you inspiration, don't ever do that without stopping and taking the time to say, Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. You're the one that is supposed to lead and guide me into all truth and show me things to come. Holy Spirit, you're supposed to bring all things to my remembrance, whatever I've been taught. He got that by revelation. Now, in this context, we're going to be talking about the receiving of communion. But one of the things the Apostle Paul told the believers at Corinth to do, the church at Corinth, he said, I want you to, every time you receive communion, when you come together to receive communion, he said, I want you to bring to remembrance these things. Bring them to remembrance. Why is it important that you do that? Well, you know, in Mark chapter 4, when it talks about the Word of God and falling on different types of soil, it says there's people that receive the Word of God. Some of it's bad soil. It never does anything. It just falls on bad ground and it doesn't produce. Then there's others, it says, that receive the Word of God with great joy. They're all excited. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He's a provider and all these things. But it says they don't have any roots. They haven't spent the time to get the Word of God down into their heart like they need to. And so it says when persecution comes because of the Word, it says they're easily offended and they quickly forget what God has promised belongs to them all the time. And even though He wants to do great things in their life, they miss out on every bit of it, even though He wanted to do so many great things in their life. He couldn't because they didn't take the time to receive what He had. They didn't get their roots down into the Word of God. And how many of you know it takes effort to do that? Amen. You know, a farmer can start out with a small little field and plant seed in there, but if he's smart, when he gets the harvest from that seed that he plants, he'll buy more land and keep planting more seed. You follow me? And then more harvest will come, and then he's got more seed, and then he can buy more land. That's how God wants us to live, going from faith to faith and from victory to victory. In other words, He doesn't want you to have a strong week here and then a bad week here. He knows that in life you're going to have tribulation. Jesus said in the world you're going to have tribulation, but He didn't stop there. He says, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. The Word says there's no temptation or test or trial that's common to man, that He hasn't already with that made a way of escape. I'm here to tell you this morning that no matter what you're facing right now, or no matter what kind of struggles that some of you may have been struggling with, God has a way of escape for you. He's got a way out for you. He's got help that can come to you. He really does. But you say, why does that have to do with communion? Why are you talking that way? Because He said, when you receive these communion elements, when you come to the table to receive what I've done, He says, I want you guys to be in remembrance of me. Jesus is saying, when you get into the Word and you come to the table, remember who I am. Remember what I said. Remember what I promised. Remember what I did. As often as you come. Why? Because every one of you out there, as great as your memory is, you don't remember everything you want to remember. I've used this example. In our home, it used to be a lot of times we try to run out the door at the last minute. You've all done this. I know you have. And there's only one problem. You don't know where the keys are. And so you're tearing up the whole house trying to find the keys. And you don't know where the keys are, and it's driving you nuts. You know, panic tries to set in because you don't know where the keys are. And, you know, finally you find them, and then there's such a relief. But then, you know, you go a few months, and then the same thing happens all over again. Well, we had that happen in the Miller household quite a few times. And then finally my wife had a brainstorm, and she says, you know what we need to do? We don't do very good with this key thing, so let's go ahead and get one of these key holders and put it right inside the door and tack it up on the wall. And every time we come in the garage door, take the keys out of your pocket. Ladies, take the keys out of your purse unless you put your purse in the same place. Most of you ladies, you got about 10 purses, so you don't know which keys that they're in. Hello. But here's the thing. He said, put it in remembrance. So we put our keys in the same place every time. So when I want my keys, I know exactly where to go. And you know what it is about the Word of God? The Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen. In other words, they all belong to you. But my wife says another thing that I've learned from her, and that is this. She says, if you want to know where to go, you got to have the address. That's why you study the Word of God, to show yourself approved unto God, so that you can by yourself be a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, because you know how to rightly divide or set straight the doctrine of the Word of God. And why is that important? It's because a lot of people receive communion and they know Jesus as their Savior, Ron, but so many of them, they don't know Him as their healer. They don't have a clue about what Jesus was sent to the earth to do. And you know, when you receive communion, we'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit. We're going a little direction, this little different direction, this service. But in the receiving of communion, Paul, by the inspiration of God, said, for this cause or for this reason, he says, many are weak and even sickly among you, and even many sleep. In other words, they die prematurely. And then he goes on and he says, why? Because they do not discern the Lord's body. They don't realize that Jesus' body was broken to pay for healing 2,000 years ago. So a lot of people know Jesus as their Savior, but they don't have a clue about Jesus as their healer. He's just as much your healer as he is your Savior. Amen. When the children of Israel were delivered from bondage from Egypt, when they came out, the very first covenant name that God spoke to him, he didn't say, I'm Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider. He didn't say, I'm Jehovah Shalom, I'm the Lord your peace. He said, no, you need to know that the first covenant name I want you to know me by as your God is I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord your healer. I am is always in the present tense. From the time he revealed his covenant name to the children of Israel in the old covenant, in the book of Hebrews, it says we are established under a better covenant with better promises. And in the Psalms, it tells us that when they went out of that old way of life, the old way of living, it says he brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble among their tribe. And we have a better covenant established with better promises. So I'm asking you today, how have we been living? How have we been doing? I'm telling you, we need to raise the bar in the body of Christ. Amen. In Psalm 103, it says, forget not all his benefits. He heals all of our diseases. Glory to God. He forgives all of our sins. Psalm 107, verse 20 says, he sent his word. And he healed them and delivered them. Who's the them? The them that received his word about healing. He sent his word and he healed them. And he delivered them from all. A-L-L. He delivered them from all of their destructions. How? By the word of God. Malachi 4:2, that's what our healing school is built on. Malachi 4:2 says, the Son of Righteousness, that's talking about Jesus. It says he will arise with healing in his wings. How's he going to rise up? With healing in his wings. Well, what does healing in his wings represent? It represents healing. It says he's going to rise up on the inside of you, not just as Jesus your Savior, but as Jesus your healer. You have a right to be healthy every single day. Glory to God. So how do you do that? And I'm just going a whole different direction for this service. This is how the Lord is leading me. That's why we need to know the Holy Ghost, because he's going to go the way he wants to go. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23, he says, my son, you attend to my words. Pay attention to my words. He says, incline your ears unto my sayings. He says, don't let my word depart from before your eyes. Keep my word right in the middle of your heart. How do you do that? By meditating in the word. You got to be a meditator. Amen. There's an Idaho tater and there's a mashed potato. Glory to God. You got to be a meditator. Meditate in his word day and night. Amen. And if you're a meditator, you'll be a healed tater. Yes, you will. Glory be to God. He says, pay attention to my words. Incline your ears unto my sayings. Don't let my word depart from before your eyes. Keep my word of healing, in the midst of your heart, because it's health to all them that find them, and healing and medicine to all your flesh, every bit of your flesh. Doctors have medicine for your ears. They got medicine for your eyes. They got medicine for your kidneys. They got medicine for your liver. They got medicine for your stomach. They got medicine for flu. Amen. They got all kind of medicine. And that medicine is designed to go to that part of your body where it needs it. But that's all it'll do. It'll go to that part of your body that needs it. But his word, glory be to God, it's health, it's healing, it's medicine to all your flesh. You put the word of God on the inside of you, and that word, like a laser beam, it'll seek out whatever is in there that doesn't belong, and it'll kill it. Glory to God, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, it dried up from the roots. And a few days later, when they walked by, they said, Jesus, that fig tree you cursed, it's dead. It's dried up from the roots. And he said, well, have faith in God. See, that's a fig tree, Brother Marcus. Faith in God. F-I-G. Have faith in God. He says, for whoever will say to this mountain or this sickness or disease, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe what you say will come to pass. It shall come to pass. Amen. He says, and when you stand praying, glory to God, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive and you'll have. So I say it like this. Mark 11:23 belongs to me, and right next door is Mark 11:24. Glory to God, and they both work for me. But you put the word in your heart by meditating in the word. It's health and healing. It's medicine to all your flesh, every bit of it. Amen. See, if it wasn't so, he would have said it's health and healing or medicine to every part of your body except. Almost every part of your body. No, his word is health and healing to all your flesh. All you got to do is get vitamin W-O-G coming in large doses. What's vitamin W-O-G? I'm glad you asked that. It's the word of God. You can't OD on vitamin W-O-G. Just keep the promises going in. And the power to heal is in the word. Do you understand how it works? You don't have to. But one thing you have to do is just keep thanking God the word is working. Listen, when you asked Jesus to save you, didn't he save you? Well, all the promises of God are yes and amen. So I want you to say this. Say, Jesus, he's my Savior, but that ain't all. He's my healer. He's my Savior and my healer. He's my Savior healer. He's my healer Savior. You got it. See? You just got to say that. Yeah, he's my Savior, but he's also my healer. Glory to God. Isn't that good? Let's turn real quickly. I'm running out of time. This is fun. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, when he's talking about, you know, Isaiah there, it talked about the fact of, you know, that he was wounded for our transgressions. We didn't even get to that. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And it says, and by his stripes ye were healed. Ye are healed, okay? By his stripes you are healed. That's what Isaiah prophesied Jesus would do. And over here in Matthew, well, we won't go to Matthew. We'll go to 1 Corinthians because of time. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll look at that together. Real quickly, it says, moreover, brethren, he says, I declare unto you the gospel. That's the good news. When the apostle Paul talked about what he preached, he says, when I came unto you, he wrote to the church at Corinth. He says, when I came unto you, I didn't come with enticing words of men, but I came in power and in demonstration that your faith wouldn't rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The gospel is powerful. It's full of power. The word of God is powerful. It's full of power. Hebrews 4 says the word of God is alive and powerful, full of power. Amen. You get the word in you, you got the power in you to heal. But he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. The gospel going into you, it'll start making you stand up. You'll get that on the way home and you'll have to pull over and start shouting. Amen. By which also you are saved. That word saved in the Greek means sozo, which means completeness, wholeness. It means strong, healthy, saved, healed, delivered, set free, prosperous, the whole enchilada. That's what sozo means. So tell your neighbor, when you're saved, you have sozo. When you know you got sozo, the devil's a bozo. Amen. Sozo makes the devil into a bozo. Amen. He can't buffalo you anymore. You know what belongs to you, and you're going to get it. Glory to God. Watch this now. You got sozo. He says, here's how you get sozo. Here's how you get all the benefits of the word. If you keep in memory, if you keep in memory. Did you get that? If you keep in memory. If you keep going back to what you know the word says. If you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. He died for all of our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. When he rose up out of the grave, folks, you know how he rose up? He rose up in resurrection power. He was raised from the dead, but when he was receiving all that punishment for our sins, when he received the stripes on his back for our healing, he paid for your healing. He paid for your safety. He paid for your deliverance. He paid for your prosperity. He paid for every good thing that you need in your life. He paid for it all way back there in Calvary. And it belongs to you. And when he was raised up from the dead in resurrection life, and you called on his name as a child of God, glory to God, you have resurrection strength, you got resurrection healing, you got resurrection salvation, you got resurrection power, you got resurrection healing, you got resurrection everything in him. Glory to God. Resurrection happiness, resurrection confidence, resurrection victory, resurrection money. Glory to God. Everything. Resurrection by that resurrection life. And that's how you were raised up in him. And if you settle for anything less, you're getting the short end of the deal. I say this all the time, but I have a simple prayer. I say, Father, my name ain't Jimmy, but I'll take all you want to give me. Come on. Don't you pray that way? Come on. Sure you do. So he paid for it. He was raised up in resurrection life to give that to you and I, and it belongs to us. But he says, when you start taking the communion elements, you got to go back and put all these things into your remembrance. You got to remember that those stripes on his back were for your healing. You got to remember that he was made to be sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You got to remember that when he was raised up in resurrection life to give you sozo. Amen. So you can make the devil look like a... Oh, glory to God. You say, I heard that bozo preacher this morning at Word of Life Church. Yes, you did. Amen. Well, are you ready to receive the communion elements? We're going to come to the table today together. If you guys did not get your little communion elements, I hope you have them. If you didn't, you can just lift your hands up and our ushers will put one in your hand. We want to go ahead and prepare our hearts to receive the communion elements, and we're going to put the Lord into remembrance of what he did and what belongs to us. Now, I'm going to remind you, when you get this little container here, there's a little tiny piece of film that's on the top of it. You want to make sure you just use your thumbnail or fingernail, whatever, and just peel that back just on the very top, and that'll get you the wafer. You don't want to pull that big tab because that'll get you the grape juice, and we don't want that all over your pretty dress you just put on this morning or your tie, whatever. So just take that very top film part, and you'll get your wafer out with that, okay? And we're going to get ready to receive these communion elements in just a second here. Jay, you can go ahead and start.